One of my favorite lines in the song is, the trick is to remember who you are. Through the ups, through the downs, through the good times, through the not so good times, to remember who you are, whether it be driving a car, your first kiss, or trying to figure out how to get out of the dark night of the soul. Never lose sight of who you truly are. Anybody here ever forget? Oh, am I the only one? Today is all about a great remembering, and some of the concepts we're going to share aren't necessarily profound, but they are basic new thought. They are basic principles that we need to revisit often because we often forget, don't we? We not only forget who we are, but we forget the method and the way for us to create heaven on earth, to make life good. Even when life doesn't look so good on the outside, we have the ability to be the conduit for change, yes? We are the creative center of the universe. God is working through us and as us. By choosing love, we create more love, even when it is difficult. By choosing peace and choosing joy. Last week, we began a series, and I began to talk about spiritual intelligence. How many were here? For those who didn't put your hand up, we missed you last week. We did not take attendance, but we'll hope to see you next Sunday. We talked about the IQ and the EQ. We talked about our intelligence, our mental capacity as an important part of walking the earth, coupled with the sister of the emotional intelligence, our ability to relate and to feel with each other. Two very important sisters, but we recognize that there's a third sister, perhaps the elder sister, that's so incredibly important that most of us forget. Most of the planet has forgotten. We have the IQ, the EQ, but we must know the SQ. This spiritual intelligence. We were created with the innate ability to sense and to know the goodness even when it's not on the outside, to intuit and to download incredible wisdom. Anybody ever have that light bulb moment? You don't know where it came from. You didn't think it into being. You didn't feel it into being. But it was there. The epiphany, the revelation, the V8, the light bulb. I don't care what you call it. But we have that as our basic operating system. It's the way we were created in the image and after the likeness of spiritual intelligence, which must be the sister that's wrapping its arms around every experience that we're having. Every experience here must be grounded in something greater. But somewhere along the line, that operating system of being in tune with those higher dimensions, of recognizing those truths of a spiritual nature, got corrupted. The files got corrupted and we forgot. Yes, I know I'm not the only one. It got covered up with programs and widgets and files and apps that are corrupting our original spiritual programming. What we do here is we reprogram. We remember the original programming. Every time we come together, that's exactly what we are doing. Now, I'm probably in the right demographic of age here. Certainly in my household, I hear this. You go to bed, and you wake up, and your phone has been shifted. It's been changed. Oh, there's a new operating system on the phone. And nothing works the way it's supposed to work. I can't find anything. You know, I can tell you those mornings, Susie will be in the computer, and it's like, what happened? They changed everything. And she said, I didn't touch anything. I didn't do anything, but it's all different. Help. And I tell you, my family is in big trouble when I am tech support. If I'm tech support, I'm going to be calling Wes up in the booth real quick, and I'm probably going to use some language that Wes is going to laugh about today, but I'm going to do my best. But the reality is, a lot of us are walking through the planet going, what happened? What happened? Nothing's the way it was. It all changed and I didn't touch anything. New glitches, new layouts, new features, and you thought, I didn't agree to any of this. Nothing's the same. Well, here, whether we know it or not, whether we are willing to own it or not, we have all unconsciously downloaded a whole lot of unnecessary program. Here and here. And we've taken the spiritual programming and we've put it off to the side, which means that can happen without us paying attention, without being conscious, aware beings. Where does that programming come from? Family systems. Anybody got a program from a family system that you realized at one point, help, I'm turning into my parents? A lot of culture, programming, history, religion and the big T word, trauma. Trauma, something happens, and there's an instant download that we went unconscious that got into our system, that got buried in the subconscious mind, and it's driving our lives, and we don't know until one day we wake up and go, what happened? Today is a service about what happened and what we can do about what happened. Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founders, said this: all that we need is within us. Say that with me. All that we need is within us. Now make it personal. All that I need is within me. All that I need within me. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? Do we rehearse that? Do we live that? Do we breathe that? Do we constantly keep that at the forefront of our mind? Because that is what keeps the spiritual program operating and moving. But what if what's within us, that's always been there, has been buried under clutter? What if the belief systems that we occasionally talk about have been buried under clutter? What if spiritual growth is less about becoming something new and getting a new program? What's the next workshop? What's the next book? What's the next thing that's going to be interesting at service? That maybe we need to return to the basics and remember who we are, individually and collectively. Meister Eckhart, the 14th century mystic, put it beautifully. He said, God will not be found in your soul by adding anything, but by a process of subtraction. So what do you do if you have a program on your computer? I know Wes is not the only one with the answer in the room. What do you do if you have a program that got installed without your knowledge onto your computer? Dump it. Dump the file. Call Wes on the phone and say, help, I can't get this thing off. It's like a barnacle on my computer and on my life. What's that? What'd you say? Call Richard. Yeah, you're in big trouble. What if spiritual growth was about releasing that which is in the way of the original programming and getting rid of the junk and all the extra apps? I don't know about you, but I got way too many apps on my phone. And then what the universe does is you need more storage. Oh, and that's going to cost you this. That's going to cost you this. And what a lot of us are doing, we're investing a lot of money in a new app and a new program, and a new idea, and we're cluttered up, and we've missed the truth, the basic, simple truth, that we are the light of the world. Say that with me. I am the light of the world. Do you really believe that? It's more about remembering the original script than it is writing a new script. You know, so many of us are doing this repeated pattern, and you may recognize it. We think the same thoughts every single day. We get up and we rehearse them. And we let that thought come into our head. And then what follows the thought is the emotion. So I have the same thought. Now I'm driving the same emotional energy. The emotional body is responding to the mental energy. And when you do that, what happens? The same actions. The same thoughts produce the same emotions, produce the same actions. And then guess what? The same actions produce the same experiences. Ever wonder why you're beating your head against the wall? Why is nobody showing up the way I think they should show up? Error, 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 error. I can't get into my computer. You might have a solution by going back to the source, by returning to the original programming, but we're doing the same thing over and over and over and over, expecting different results. That is the definition of insanity, yes? So maybe we want to do something different. That is unconscious coding. That's living from an unconscious pattern that is directing your life. How do you like it? How's it working for you? I'm saying spiritual coding says let's be a little more conscious. Let's be a little bit more mindful. Let's pay attention just a little bit more. When the error message is coming, it might be something that you need to pay attention to. But what do? It's all the wall's fault. You're a wall, you're a wall, you're a wall. I just wish you would all change. And the reality is all roads, you know, they say many paths, one Patsy, many paths, one you. I'm responsible. You can be any way you want, good, bad, or otherwise, but I, at the end of the day, am responsible for the life, the body, the experience that I'm having, yes? Say that with me. I am responsible. That one's a little harder to say when things are falling apart. I am responsible. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. Spiritual coding is a much more intentional process, a four-step process I'm going to give you today. Write it down. There's nothing profound about it. There's nothing really deep about it. But when implemented, it takes your life to a place of depth. Number one, start noticing the habits. Start noticing the unconscious things that you are doing day by day by day, but you're not paying attention. That means you wake up, step back, and become a dispassionate witness, a conscious observer. What is it I'm doing day to day to day to day? No judgment. Notice the thoughts that are regularly, habitually in your brain. Don't become them. Notice the error messages. Number two, you notice the results. When I do this, these are the results. Anybody have that? These are the same people that keep showing up in my field. These are the same conflicts that keep showing up in my field. These are the same frustrations. Take inventory and get real with yourself. Just get honest. You know, authenticity is a pathway to spiritual transformation. I cannot heal that which I won't acknowledge. Anybody in 12-step? The first step to healing is admitting that there's a problem. Okay, number two, I'm going to notice the results, and I'm going to then have number three, an authentic inquiry, an authentic inventory. What are the results, and did they come through my programming or somebody else's programming? Did they come through a download of a program that I just inherited from my family, from my church, from my minister, from my teachers, from the last person who hurt me, from the last difficult situation? I went unconscious, and there was a program that I began, an old wound that is running the program from day one of that happening. I'm not good enough. I always screw up. Here's one a lot of us have. Money is hard. Man, abundance is hard. Other people are meant to be abundant, but I have to work 10 times harder than anybody else. There's my guts on the table for you. I got to work 10 times harder than anybody else for the abundance that is mine, inheritance. Health is a challenge. Love never stays. Love never stays. This is a program that's running for a lot of us. We're either aware of it or we're not aware of it. But we bring it to the surface to go, my habits have a thought process behind them. And I get to go, I don't choose this anymore. That's programming that's faulty. You're not enough. That is faulty programming, and there's a need and a necessity to go back to the original spiritual idea and ideal of who you are, a divine idea in the mind of the one. You are a divine idea in the mind of the allness, of the source, yes? And so I want you to say this time with a hand on a heart, if you're led, I know some people don't like it when I do this, it works for me. I am a divine idea in the mind of the one. I am a divine idea in the mind of the one. That's how holy you are. That's how beautiful you are. That's how magnificent you are. And that's the program you were designed in and as. And a lot of us are playing small. A lot of us are letting somebody else's program run our lives. You get to decide that if you rehearse fear long enough, do you know if you rehearse fear long enough, people will show up that you need to be afraid of? That if you hold that you're going to be rejected long enough, whether you're awake to it or not, guess what? People are going to reject you. What you were holding on the inside, people will eventually show up that which you have manifested on the inside, first and foremost. So be careful what you're thinking. Be careful what you're doing. And if you don't like it, then go to step four, the most important step. Conscious, intentional reprogramming. Reinstallation of the original software. How do you do that? Well, when you got to dump the files. This is what Unity calls denial. I don't choose this file anymore. This is not who I am. It's not the truth of who I am. But then the very simple practices that we teach every day, every Sunday here at this church, you reprogram through meditation, through prayer, through silence, through affirmation, through denial, through contemplation, through study, through community, through service, through visioning, through visualizing. These are not just nice, pretty little spiritual principles. And we think because they're kind of old hat here, oh, that's just that. He's telling us to meditate again, to pray again, to be in community. You know, you become like the people you surround yourself with. You don't like what life's showing you. You might be the cause of the reality in the community that you're around. Choose differently. Reprogram. Choose a different thought. These are not just pretty little spiritual hobbies. They are neural and spiritual coding practices. So don't take the spiritual side of it. Let's go to science. Let's go to some brighter minds than I in order to prove this concept. And Bill, I always look to you. You tell me if it's junk science. But then you're going to have to argue with Joe Dispenza, Greg Braden, and Bruce Lipton. I'm just going to quote them because they're proving the spiritual ideas that I'm sharing today. Neuroscience tells us clearly that consistent repetition builds neural pathways. What's going on here can be changed by what's coming out here. What is going on in your brain can be changed by what you were allowing into your field, into your sphere, by what you're allowing into your heart. With spiritual intelligence, it's the difference between being triggered and being transformed. You see, if you're coming from the IQ, you're going to be triggered. The old program's going to be running things. If you're coming only from an emotional, anybody who overthinks peace, overthinks love, overthinks oneness? It's all coming from the IQ. And then there are the drama queens. I've got a lot of those people. Let's live in fear. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Because there is no SQ wrapping its round. There's no spiritual intelligence. We must drop down to the SQ and stop being triggered from a human standpoint and start being transformed from the spiritual standpoint. That's what this coding process is all about. And how do you get there? Practice, practice, practice. Every single time you redirect yourself, you redirect your actions and your thoughts and your feelings, you are coding something. Electrons are firing in your brain that says, I'm going to do business differently. The computer system that is you says, I don't do that anymore. I break the pattern. I am the pattern interrupter. And this is an old concept. St. Paul writes in his letter to the people of Rome. Let's read it together. Number one, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He didn't say, be ye condemned. He didn't say, be ye shamed or bad. He said, be ye renewed. Renewed is just another synonym for recoded, another synonym for remembered, for reinstalled. In neuroscience, they say this. Let's read the second one. Neurons that fire together wire together. Things that are not connected, bridges are being built with every decision you make in meditation, prayer, in community, in study, in service. Things are firing on the inside, but wait, there's more. In unity, we say this, thoughts held in mind reproduce after their kind. Where do they reproduce? Thoughts held in mind will reproduce after the kind. Where do they reproduce? Well, first they're going to reproduce here. Like rabbits, they're making love. Rabbits, 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 rabbits. You let a thought into your brain, the program is already working. And when you're conscious, it's actually working overtime. But if you don't pay attention to what's going on here, where will it then reproduce? Here, in your body. Your body is the thermometer telling you it's hot. You better pay attention. And those who don't pay attention, guess what? It manifests in the body. You can actually change your biology by what you're thinking here. Now, if you don't pay attention here, you don't pay attention here, you don't pay attention here, where will these thoughts show up? Everywhere, right here in front of you. People will show up the way that you expect them to show up. People will show up as your incredible mirror to show you exactly where you need to grow. People are going to show up as your teachers. Yeah. I need to look at something. But no, we go, you're a wall, you're a wall, you're the problem. And the reality is, it's a call for a reprogram or a remembering of our initial program. Yes? So I'm going to go, basically, all those right there, it's the same truth. It's different language. Now I'm going to give the experts the voice. Joe Dispenza says this, together, when you change your mind, you change your brain. Now, let's all notice here in our spiritual center here, he's not saying, when God changes your circumstances, everything will be okay. He doesn't say when the world behaves better, when the walls in your life behave differently, then everything will better. No, he says when you change your mind, you change the physical structure of your brain. That center that is dictating and creating the life that you are living, that's spiritual coding. Unity calls it the law of mind action. Joe Dispenza calls it quantum biology. I'm calling it spiritual coding. I don't really care what you call it. It matters less, but I do care that you're using the principle. The principle is absolutely identical for all three of those statements. Repeated inner patterns repeated inner patterns produce repeated outer experiences. Let me say that again, and then I'll have you say it with me. Repeated inner patterns produce repeated outer experiences. Together, repeated inner patterns produce repeated outer experiences. Smarter people than I said it this way: as within, so without. As above, so below. Plain and simple. We return to the original program. Jesus was the master teacher of this. Our way shower, our elder brother, he absolutely was the master of this. He says in the Gospel of Mark, one of the most misinterpreted scriptures since the beginning of time, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What he's basically saying is a mistranslation there, and it's been twisted and turned to manipulate the masses to get under control. Repent, the more, this is the word right there, metanoia, say it with me. That's what he said if you go back to the original language, the original Greek, metanoia. He didn't say repent. He didn't say you need to be shamed. He didn't say that you're bad. He said simply what this word means, change your mind. Change your focus. Change your attention. Adopt a new inner framework. He wasn't demanding you to claim that you are bad and you had to turn from your evil ways. He was inviting a mental upgrade. He was inviting you to return to the original program, and he did it individually, and he did it collectively. He continued to do that in the Gospel of Matthew. What Jesus' number one teaching? If you were to get this teaching in this gospel was what people say is his greatest teaching. What is it? The Sermon on the Mount. People started paying attention. 6 times in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, you have heard it was said to those of old. Read that with me. You have heard that it was said to those of old. And then he went on, but I say to you. But I say to you. This is spiritual recoding. This is remembering. You've heard from your parents. You've heard from your teachers. You've heard from your churches that this is the truth. Oh, but I say, and sometimes but gets a bad rap around here. But this is denial. I don't choose that anymore. That truth that I inherited from my parents is not my truth anymore. I choose a different reality. Can we follow the example of this man, both externally in our environment and internally in this environment? I used to be this way, but now I choose this way. I used to have these thoughts, but now I choose these thoughts. I used to have these reactions when things would happen, but now I choose this. Now I say to myself, in an awake, conscious, lived place, I'm choosing something different. Say that with me. I'm choosing something different. Oh, well, that's too simple. That's too simple. That's what the IQ will tell you. You've got to complicate it. I've got to complicate it. I've got to make it, you know, in a book of 57,000 books and take a workshop on it. No, you don't. You just have to choose something different. And I know that seems like an oversimplification, but I've lived the experience. When I wanted to go through 57 steps on how to transform my life, I never got to step 40. But when I was at the moment of decision, I've been told this. I've told myself this forever, and now I choose something different. I want you to fill in the blank right now. And now this is for the introverts who are going to freak out right now. I want you to turn to somebody, and I want you to fill in the blank. I used to blank, and now I choose to blank. Think about it for a second. That's a moment of transformation about to happen. I used to, but now I choose this. Here's an example. I used to give all my power away to the approval of others. Now I choose to approve of myself and know the light of my own being. You got it? Turn to somebody to your left and your right. Introverts, bear with me. You can close your eyes if you don't want to do it. Take 30 seconds and turn to 2 people and say, I used to do this, but now I do this. Repent. Repent. Or as the joke says, sin and repaint no more or something. I don't know. Jesus came to change the collective consciousness of the human race, of the entire planet. And so, okay, that's enough. There's a lot. You can tell people, what'd you do in church today? We had a lot of repentance. I promise there will be no altar calls. But let me tell you what Jesus brought, the new program or the old program that we had forgotten. The old script said, hate your enemy. The new script said, love your enemy. The old script said, an eye for an eye. The new script says, turn the other cheek. The old script said, us versus them. And the new script says, we belong to each other. Jesus was dismantling programming and installing the old program of the Garden of Eden consciousness, the fall from grace, before we began to forget. That's what we're asking you to consciously, verbally, mentally, and emotionally, and spiritually retrain what's going on in the system of your being and your day-to-day existence. Some of us are trying to create abundance while emotionally running a program of scarcity. Where did this come from? I didn't install this. I don't care who installed it. Get rid of it. Dump it. We're trying to create joy from a base of a core wound that has been polluting your operating system with a victim consciousness and program for the last 10 years. Why is nothing working? You might want to do some cleaning of house. You might want to dump some files that don't belong anymore. And that's okay. It's not blame or shame. It's just going, I have control. I am responsible. I am the programmer of my existence. But let's go further. Dr. Bruce Lipton. In the biology of belief, he makes a very radical claim when he says, the moment you change your perception is the moment you rewrite the chemistry of your body. Oh, we're not just about changing our life, you're changing your body. You're changing everything. He's not talking metaphorically here. He's talking biologically. Lipton's research in epigenetics suggests that genes are not your destiny. What you inherited from your grandparents, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, is not your destiny, never has been. What happened to you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is not your destiny. Your body is influenced, your cells are influenced by an internal and external environment. Perception shapes environment, here and here. So what are you looking at? Where's your focus? Where's your attention? Look at your calendar. Where's your time? Where's your pocketbook? Where's your wallet? Where's your mouth? Where's your silence? Unity has said for over a century, this quote here, let's put the next quote up there together. Change your thinking, change your life. Duh. Oh, we've heard that 100 times here. Yeah, we're going to say it 100 more times until we actually get it. I remember being in a religious science class. And a wonderful teacher. He was not a great speaker, but he was a wonderful teacher. And we were reading the Science of Mind textbook. And we were like into chapter 10. And I finally turned to him and I said, when is when is Ernest Holmes going to say something different? And this teacher said, when you get it, it'll say something different. When you get it, it'll say something different. When I get that phrase, then it will all be different. It will have depth. It will have ascension. It will have more meaning than you ever thought possible. Lipton says the next line together, change your beliefs, change yourselves. Same truth, different words. Plain and simple. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. If your coding says life is against me, guess what? Everything is going to show up against you. I've played that tape, got the t-shirt. I know what it's like. And if you say, I am supported by life over and over and over, consistency and repeated, I am supported by life, guess what? Wow, miracles show up everywhere. I've played both those tapes. Let me tell you which one works better for me. And I want that same good for you. It works better running a program that everything is working in my favor. A little music would be great, maestro. My grandson TJ has been my greatest teacher. He's all spiritual, but he doesn't know it. Some of you know TJ. And TJ is a metaphysician of the highest order. His favorite phrase when he got into trouble and came to live at Grandma and Gramps' house, he'd constantly say, don't worry, Gramps, it's all going to work out. He often would say, the fat lady hasn't sung yet. Grandma, don't worry. It's all going to work out. TJ probably has cat in him because he lands on his feet every single time. He is a wild child. He is doing more adventuresome things than anybody on the planet. And it's like we panic and we pray, yet he always lands on his feet. And I realized that my anxiety about what he was doing when he lived at our house caused more anxiety for me. And he was in que sera, sera, and everything worked. Maybe we need to relax into the original programming and stop being so anxious about the next program to download. Bruce Lipton shows us that belief rewrites biology. Joe Dispenza shows us that emotion rewires the brain. And Unity suggests that coherent, intentional, heart-centered thoughts and feelings given through the lens of the spiritual intelligence creates the life that we're all seeking, the body that we're all seeking, the experience we're all seeking. They're all talking about recoding the inner world as a means of shifting and changing the results showing up in our body and in our lives. And that excites me to no end.